Good morning, Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
On March 17th of 2022, my teammates and I, as well as female swimmers from universities around the country, were forced to compete against biological male Leah Thomas. Thomas was allowed to compete in the women's division after competing as a member of the University of Pennsylvania's men's swim team for 3 years as Will Thomas. We watched on the side of the pool as Thomas swam to a national title in the 500 freestyle, beating out the most impressive and accomplished female swimmers in the country, including many Olympians and American record holders, by body lengths. Previously, Thomas had been ranked 462nd at best in the men's division the year prior.
This is Riley Gaines, who was testifying or commenting, I suppose it's technically testimony, at the Senate hearing last week on LGBT issues. And it was very interesting. It was a very interesting hearing. It didn't make a lot of news. I was surprised. I mean, the clip with, Joe Kennedy, or not Joe, Edward Kennedy. Now, what is his first name now? All of a sudden, I can't remember. The Senator Kennedy. I always want to call him by the wrong name. John Kennedy. That's right. I always want to think, well, it can't be John because that was the other John Kennedy, you know. There was some traction. You know, a lot of people, I think, saw the interaction with him asking, you know, about, do men have an advantage over women, and the woman who was testifying saying basically no, not in all cases, which is incredibly stupid of her to say. But generally, the testimony was very interesting. About 2.5 hours long. Of course, you know me. I listen to it all. This is what I do. But, yeah, talking about the interaction between her and, Will for 3 years and then Leah for 1 year. And that's been one of the, you know, one of the big sort of well-known stories about men competing in women's sports in the college level. And a lot of the background of this I did not know.
Previously, Thomas had been ranked 462nd at best in the men's division the year prior. The next day, I raced Thomas in the 200 freestyle, which ended up in a tie. We went the exact same time down to the 100th of a second. Having only one trophy, the NCAA handed it to Thomas and told me I had to go home empty-handed. And when I asked why, which was a question they were not prepared to be asked, I actually appreciate their honesty because they said Thomas, it was crucial Thomas had it for picture purposes. Thomas had to have it for the pictures. I felt betrayed. I felt belittled. I felt reduced to a photo op. But my feelings didn't matter. What mattered to the NCAA were the feelings of a biological male.
Because of the issue, right? Because of the thing that they were trying to advance at the NCAA.
In 1972, Congress enacted Title IX to end unjust sex discrimination in all aspects of education, including college athletics. But by allowing Thomas to displace female athletes in the pool and on the podium, the NCAA intentionally and explicitly discriminated on the basis of sex. Although the NCAA claim it acted in the name of inclusion, its policies in fact excluded female athletes, which are the very female athletes whom Title IX was passed to protect.
Yeah, Title IX is the one that says, for example, that if you have a male sport, you have to have a female sport, right? You can't expand male sports without expanding female sports. It provides opportunity for women. It guarantees opportunity for women by segregating women from male sports. That is the key element of that, is that, you know, because women and men are biologically different, you can't fairly provide for women's sports if you allow men to compete in women's sports. That doesn't work. That's why you have to have gender-separated sports, something that the, you know, sort of the gender anarchists that were represented on this panel and in culture want to deny. It's just this most bizarre thing. But, yeah, it is a tremendous inversion to use Title IX to displace women from sports by allowing men, biological men, to compete in. It's unbelievable. But there's another part of this story that I did not know that was genuinely horrifying to hear.
But that is not all. In addition to being forced to give up our awards and our titles and our opportunities, the NCAA forced me and my female swimmers to swim to share a locker room with Thomas, a 6'4", 22-year-old male equipped with and exposing male genitalia.
What in the world? That was the background?
Let me be clear about this. We were not forewarned we would be sharing a locker room. No one asked for our consent, and we did not give our consent. And I'll set the scene. A swimming locker room is not a place of modesty. You're undressing, you're fully exposed, and we were forced to take off our swimsuit in front of a man who was doing the exact same thing. If nothing else, I truly hope how you can see this as a violation of our right to privacy and how some of us have felt uncomfortable, embarrassed, and even traumatized by this experience.
Look, I'm willing to hear the claims that somehow, and I don't agree with them, but I'm willing to hear the claims that certain kinds of transgender athletes might be able to be accommodated in some sports. I mean, I don't agree, but I'm willing to hear it. But there's nothing you're going to tell me that says that a 6-foot-plus man with all the parts should be allowed to change clothes into swimming gear in a room filled with young women who are also having to change into and out of their swimming. Like, there's no universe in which that's good, acceptable, okay, particularly without warning, without consent, right?
I know that I don't speak for every single person who competed against Leah Thomas, but I know I speak for many because I saw the tears. I saw the tears from the 9th and 17th place finishers who missed out on being named an All-American by one place. And I can attest to the extreme discomfort in the locker room when you, from these 18 to 22-year-old girls, when you turn around and there's male eyes watching in that same room. And I can attest to the whispers and the grumbles of anger and frustration from these girls who, just like myself, had worked our entire lives to get to this meet.
And by the way, not just put into this incredibly violating position, this sexual assault kind of position that would have been a crime any other situation, but then to get harassed and bullied and stifled if they complained about it. We'll tell you that in just a second. Candy's got traffic on the fives.
Good news, we're not showing a slowdown right now. There's an accident, but it looks like just a little congested, not bad. Looks like you can get past it, and certainly plenty of side streets. Palafox, Fairfield, into Har. And again, not showing a roadblock this morning. If you see an accident or rather have a traffic tip, text it in, 437-1620, News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
Thanks so much, Candy. Back to the Senate hearing on LGBT issues, which was mostly focused on transgender, and I've said this before, but I'll say it again. I think L, B, and G are, you know, lesbian, gay, and bisexual are one category of thing, whereas of behavior, of identity, or orientation, whatever you want to call it, trans is a completely different thing. We should not lump these all together. They are not the same. And just as a like minor aside on that topic, when lesbians, gays, and bisexuals are asking for acceptance for who they are, which they claim is, you know, from birth or from a very early age, they're not asking to become something else. In fact, they're telling you, don't make me become something I'm not. Transgender is the exact opposite. It's not something you're born as. It's something you want to become in spite of what you were born as. And there's a tremendous level of like psychological dissonance in the claim that I just want to be accepted for who I am, when what you actually want is to be turned into something you definitely are not yet. Right. I mean, they should not all be put together. Anyway, I digress. Back to Riley Gaines talking about this at the Senate hearing, talking about how the girls who objected to being forced to share a changing room with a male, how they were treated.
And I can attest to the fact that around the country, these female athletes who opposed the inclusion of Leah Thomas in the women's divisions were threatened, intimidated, and emotionally blackmailed into silence and submission. Defending women's rights is not anti-anyone. Believing in biology is not bigoted. And following the science that there are only two sexes and that there are very real and important differences between the two sexes is not hateful, it's fact.
And by the way, she clarified a little bit later kind of what happened to the girls who didn't want to change in front of Leah Thomas.
Again, we only became aware we would be undressing next to a man was when we had to see a man undressing while we were simultaneously undressing. And so I immediately left the locker room and I went up to one of the officials on the pool deck. And I said, what are the guidelines to allow a man into our locker room? I know the guidelines for the competition, but what are the guidelines for the locker room? And he so nonchalantly said back, oh, we actually got around this by making locker rooms unisex. And so I'm thinking to myself in these brief moments, first and foremost, you just admitted this is a male by acknowledging how you had to change your rules to make the locker rooms unisex. You acknowledge that we do not share the same sex, first and foremost. Secondly, unisex? Any man could have walked into our locker room, any coach, any official, any man who wanted to would have had full reins to, and bare minimum, we weren't forewarned about it.
Again, it's just an unbelievable position for the NCAA to take.
And if we do speak up, you're immediately labeled as some name. They will call you everything under the sun, whether it's transphobic, homophobic, racists, white supremacists, domestic terrorists, they will throw them all at you in hopes to deter you, in hopes to silence you. Leah Thomas's teammates, they were forced every single week to go to mandatory LGBTQ education meetings to learn about how just by being cisgender, they were oppressing Leah Thomas. They were told that they are not allowed to take a stance because their school has already taken their stance for them. They were told that you will never get a job, you will never get into grad school, you will lose your friends, you will lose your scholarship and playing time if you speak out. They told these girls that if you do speak out, and any harm whatsoever comes towards Thomas's way, whether that's through social media, whether that's physical, mental, emotional harm, then you are solely responsible and you could be responsible for a potential death. And you don't want that, do you? Of course not. Who would ever want to be responsible in a potential death? But that is the emotional blackmail that is plaguing this country, especially in universities.
You want to talk about empowering women, allowing women to hold their views, stand up for what you believe in, respect, avoid sexual harassment and assault. And all of that has been thrown out entirely in this context of trying to force women to accept biological males, or if maybe you don't like born males, okay, to compete in their sports in these environments, especially like swimming, where in the locker room people are all changing together, where it's just, I mean, it's unfathomable to me that this is where we have gotten, even in any slice of our society, let alone as like, no, this is absolutely the right thing. You know, we should be doing this all the time. Now, Senator Mike Lee actually asked, you know, did they accommodate you at all when you made these complaints, when people raised these issues? Did the NCAA accommodate you?
Tell me what attempts that the NCAA made to accommodate you and other female swimmers who felt uncomfortable sharing an open locker room with a biological male?
Nothing. They actually made us feel guilty for feeling as if we were uncomfortable. Time and time again, that's what we saw. There was even a group of girls who undressed in the janitor's closet. They changed clothes in the janitor's closet because they felt more comfortable undressing in that environment than they did undressing next to someone with male gaze.
And were they doing that because they were transphobic?
They were doing it because they were violated.
See, even if you make the case and believe that Leah Thomas has a right to swim as a woman, okay? You make that case. You have to always be thinking, whenever you're talking about solutions to problems, you're always thinking about, you know, goods and bads, right? Balancing interests. At the very least, you have to acknowledge that you are harming many, many, many women in the interest of accommodating or benefiting Leah Thomas. Just as with other transgender sports competitors, you would be harming either by displacement from competition status or by all the corollary problems that come with treating biological males identifying as females as if they are the same as full-life females. And that's the part I don't hear very much. Because, you know, one approach is to completely deny Leah Thomas any kind of consideration for competing as a woman. And I understand that approach. But even if you grant that Leah Thomas has an interest in, maybe even you say she has some kind of a right to, and I use she very cautiously here, you have to always think, and what are the sacrifices? What are the consequences? What are you doing that harms women in the process? And even if you say that Leah has certain rights, well, do these other women have no rights at all? 623 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay.
Pensacola's 4th of July fireworks over Pensacola Bay start at 9 p.m. and are presented by Pensacola Young Professionals and the Pensacola Chamber. The best spots to watch will be from Bayfront Parkway, Plaza de Luna, or Community Maritime Park for the Symphony. Don't miss the Pensacola Symphony and their free Sparks and Stars performance starting at 7 p.m. presented by Peter Mouget. Bring your radio. The fireworks will be synchronized to the music on Cat Country 98.7 thanks to Peden Heating and Air. The countdown gets started at 9 live on Cat Country 98.7.
Why is Bray Jewelers the best place to buy an engagement ring? Come in and see our selection. I promise you, we have more diamond engagement rings than you'll see.
Made with quality in mind, and your products and installation are... This is real factory direct. One company, one call, guaranteed for life. Get New South proud.
Buy two of our products and get the third free. Visit NewSouthWindow.com. New South proud!
God bless America, land that I love. Hello, this is Mary with Howard Young Flooring, located at 4333 Avalon Boulevard in Milton. From all of us at Howard Young Flooring, we would like to take this opportunity to wish you and your family a very happy and blessed Independence Day. Many of us will surround ourselves with family, cookouts, swimming, and fireworks. What a fun day! Celebrate freedom and celebrate safely. God bless.
Never miss a breaking news story or important weather update again. Download the News Radio Pensacola app and opt in for push notifications.
Surely you can't be serious.
I am serious. And don't call me Shirley.
That Leslie Nielsen was an early transphobe, you know? Didn't even realize. That's 626 here on News Radio.
Trying to get acceptance.
There you go. 626 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, sometimes funny. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. Candy's got traffic on the fives.
And good news is we're not showing it. There's one accident, but it doesn't look like a roadblock. It's out Fairfield to Palafox into Haar, right there at that triangle, I think. A little slow, but I think that's because of the light. And that's really the only thing that I'm seeing right now as far as congestion goes. Is this your usual traffic stuff? And certainly if you see an accident or you have a traffic tip, by all means, text it in 437-1620. It's News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
Thanks so much, Candy. David Wayne's in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
Another round of Supreme Court decisions are due out later this morning. Decisions on seven cases from the term that began in October still have not been released. Those cases include federal student loan forgiveness, affirmative action in college admissions, and whether state law can require businesses to provide services for same-sex couples. The latest opinions are scheduled to be released at 9 o'clock. Debris from the imploded Titan submarine is now believed to contain human remains. The Coast Guard made that announcement yesterday after a ship carrying pieces of wreckage returned to port. And the Biden administration has announced a new multi-billion-dollar plan to help prevent and reduce homelessness among military veterans. The plan includes $3.1 billion to get homeless veterans a place to live. It also includes money for legal services and job seeking.
Thanks so much, David. I was just looking because I had gotten a text from a friend who would know earlier that kind of explained to me what would have happened in the implosion. And I wish I could find it for you because I wanted to share it with you. It was really is quite thoughtful. If I find it, I will definitely bring it back in. I wasn't going to share it, but since you were bringing up the human remains, the short version is that the speed with which the implosion happened is almost, I want to say unfathomably, but you know, that's sort of a different connotation for that word. But you can't comprehend how fast it was. I mean, it would be over before you'd even know anything was happening. Instantaneous, virtually. And then, of course, what would have happened to the metal and the bodies and everything else is very, instantaneous, virtually. 628 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. If you're in the market for that next vehicle, Frontier Motors, great place to buy good quality used cars. Like, basically, I think what they did when they started Frontier is they thought, what does everybody hate about buying used cars? Okay, we're going to do the opposite on all that stuff. Like, that's, you know, when you go to a used car dealership, you often feel, at least I know I have in my life, I hope I get out of here with my skin and all my fingers intact. Like, you know, they're going to try to take advantage of me, and they're just hoping that they can pull one over on me and sell me a car that's not going to hold up. And, like, that's kind of the feeling, is an icky feel. Even when you buy a car, it feels icky. Frontier, the exact opposite. Like, it's very easy. There's no pressure. There was no point in the process where I felt like, you know, there was something weird going on, and just felt good during and then after as well. You know, the way they take care of you even after the sale, it's kind of amazing. So if you want a different kind of place to buy good quality used cars, that's Frontier Motors, serving the Pensacola community for more than 25 years, right behind that big Buffalo on Beverly Parkway. Be sure to tell them Andrew McKay says hi. 437-1620, 437-1620. Oh, my favorite story of the year. I mean, it's a bit much, but still, it's not too far.
Is it the street sweepers?
No, it's not the street sweepers.
No.
Where did I live before we lived here?
Phoenix.
After Phoenix.
St. Louis?
That was before Phoenix. Come on, Candy. Oregon.
Oh, right.
For 2 years.
Right. I forgot Oregon. Yeah.
Oregon, the People's Republic of Oregon, where you're not allowed to pump your own gas.
That's weird.
Because socialism.
Or shave your armpits.
Well, yeah, that's optional, but still.
I love it.
No, seriously.
Bring it
it's
on.
You're not allowed to pump your own gas because they want to provide jobs to create inefficiency so that everybody goes to the gas station and has to wait 2, 3, 4, 5 cars lengths until the person can come around and pump your gas by putting your credit card into the swipe machine on the pump. It's insane. They're doing away with it. New Jersey is now going to be the only state left in the union where you can't pump your own gas. Best news ever for the people of Oregon. Finally free to pump their own gas.
Fox News, I'm Chris Foster. A heat wave is spreading, and 120 million Americans are under air quality alerts.
Storms.
Already 79 degrees, feels like 85 this morning here at 6:31. The fleet of 4 Pensacola street sweepers have new names, and they're now ready to serve the community. After more than 1,200 names were submitted in a contest, 3 stood well above the rest. Sweepy McSweepface, Obi-Wan Kenobi, and Lightning McLean. Pensacola Mayor D.C. Reeves did use his executive privilege, though, to name a 4th street sweeper as well.
I've taken some executive privilege here in this first 6 months, and we have a 4th street sweeper that we went ahead and named as well, which was Dirt Reynolds.
And he says that's a nod to a fellow FSU alum, Burt Reynolds. Public safety leaders say all of the heat isn't helping when it comes to keeping tourists safe in the Gulf of Mexico. After Tuesday's death of former NFL quarterback Ryan Mallett and Destin, the string of recent deaths that stretches from Fort Morgan, Alabama to Panama City Beach has started drawing national attention.
I would say it's actually getting progressively worse. We've got a lot more people coming to our area. We're advertising it as a, you know, they're really stressing the beauty of our local beaches. So we're getting a lot more visitors. RTDC has numbers that are just out unbelievable, to be honest with you.
And that's Navarre Beach Fire Rescue Chief Danny Fury. And he says most swimmers don't realize how much energy is being used not only by continuously fighting against the Gulf waters, but with the excessive heat as well. The city of Pensacola has now got $100,000 available to help low-income renters if they have overdue rent payments or utility bills.
Applications are now being accepted through the city's neighborly portal, and the funds are through the city's Community Development Block Grant Program. The maximum award for applicants is $7,500, and applications will be accepted until the $100,000 is all spoken for. You can visit cityofpensacola.com and click on the rent, mortgage, and utility assistance for more information and to apply.
And that is News Radio's Joe Ford reporting there. Florida Governor Ron DeSantis says if he were to be elected president, he'd like to eliminate 4 federal agencies to reduce the size of the government. DeSantis did an interview with Fox News and said he'd close education, commerce, and energy agencies as well as the IRS. He says his goal would be to reduce the size and scope of the government. He also said if Congress won't go that far, then he'd use those agencies to push back against woke ideology. Well, history was made at this year's College World Series. The LSU Tigers' title-clinching win over Florida was ESPN's most-watched College World Series game ever. The network says that 3.6 million people tuned in to watch the game. Viewership peaked at more than 4 million people. The championship was the second most-watched baseball game so far this year, only behind the World Baseball Classic Final between Japan and the U.S. It is 6:35 at News Radio 92.3, and Candy has a look at our traffic on the 5.
And go Tigers! That is cool. It's brought to you by Executive Landscaping. Big enough to get that job done, small enough to care. Call 250-3756 for no-hassle estimate. That's 250-3756. Taking a look in Milton, Berry Hill, Dogwood, Hamilton Bridge Road, all clear, not showing any delays on 90. Looking good. You have traffic tips, text them in, 437-1620. We are News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
Another hot and humid day today. Temperatures warming up near 96 degrees. Feeling much warmer in the triple digits. 10% chance of a stray shower. Overnight tonight, staying warm in the 80s. Heat continues for Friday with a high near 96. Small chance of an afternoon shower. Friday night, temperatures dropping near 79 degrees. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Warning Weather Center.
And get ready for another hot one. Already 80 degrees here at 6:35 this morning in Pensacola. 81 in Gulf Breeze. 76 in Milton. Our next news at 7, breaking news anytime. I'm David Wayne, News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
I'm Jennifer Kishinka with Your Money Now. Potential new restrictions on the sale of artificial intelligence semiconductors to China could come with a hefty long-term cost for the U.S. chip industry and another setback for U.S. relations with Beijing. The potential export controls would prevent NVIDIA and other chip makers from shipping chips used to create powerful AI systems to China without first obtaining a license. NVIDIA said the consequences could be severe. Russia is on the cusp of overtaking Saudi Arabia as the biggest oil supplier to China in a shift that shows the limits of the kingdom's influence over global markets that have been turned upside down by the Ukraine war. Since the beginning of the war, Saudi Arabia has been steadily losing market share in China, the world's biggest energy market, thanks to Russia selling its oil at steep discounts. A production cut from Saudi Arabia earlier this month did not have the desired effect of boosting prices to compensate for the dip in demand. On Wall Street, futures higher. And that's your Money Now.
Boostar medicated ointment works fast to relieve the pain and itch of almost any skin irritation.
It's amazing. It's like as soon as you put it on, you can feel it working.
We've had Boostar in the family for years. It works on everything.
I love the cooling sensation on my athlete's foot.
What a relief for my eczema.
Nothing worked on my dry, cracked skin until I tried Boostar.
Boostar is great for scalp itch.
Look for the white box with the Boostar in the first aid section. Feel Boostar work fast or your money back.
Did you know China starts teaching financial literacy in preschool? American kids are getting left behind, but we can help at home thanks to The Sensibles, a team of animated superheroes who help kids develop smart money habits in a fun way. Each month, they get a kit in the mail with a DVD, a comic book, access to an interactive website, fun activities, and lots more. Visit bcs-kids.com today and enter promo code CENT for 20% off. Digital subscriptions also available. The Sensibles. It's the sensible thing to do.
This is Tort Talk with personal injury lawyer Terrence A. Gross.
Hi, this is Terrence A. Gross. Did you know that Floridians can stack uninsured motorist coverage? If you have three vehicles with $25,000 stacking UM, that equates to $75,000 in total coverage. Therefore, always choose stacking coverage if you have more than one vehicle in your household.
Tort Talk is brought to you by Terrence A. Gross. Call 434-3333 or check him out at grossandschuster.com.
Hey, it's Jesse Kelly. We are, for the most part, a reactionary society. If your neighbor has a break-in, you think about getting an alarm. If your buddy gets laid off, you say, I better buckle down at work. If banks start closing, you may want to ask yourself if you should keep most or all of your money in a bank. It may be time for a portfolio protection plan. It may be time to have a little personal gold reserve. Call my friends at the Oxford Gold Group. Call 833-404-GOLD. That's 833-404-GOLD.
News Radio Pensacola is your trusted source for hurricane coverage. If a hurricane approaches, News Radio Pensacola will provide you with the latest forecasts and warnings from the National Hurricane Center. If a hurricane approaches, News Radio Pensacola will help you find resources for disaster relief. If a hurricane approaches, News Radio Pensacola will interview experts on hurricane preparedness and safety.
No one covers the storms like News Radio 92.3.
Here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. Joining us, because it's Thursday at 6:38, we have Wes Moreno. He is the county administrator for Escambia County. Wes, welcome back to the show, sir.
Hey, good morning, Andrew. It's great to be here this morning.
Great to have you here. Walk this way. first thing I want to ask you about is Chief Catrabone leaving, which came, I think, as a big surprise to me and at least to some other people. What's the reason for him leaving?
I'm not sure what all his reasons are. He's been here for 2 years. He's done a good job while he's been here. I don't know if he has bigger aspirations or just wants to pursue other opportunities in some other areas, but I appreciate him. I appreciate his time here and the things that he has accomplished while he's been here. And Eric and I, we're talking and we're strategizing a little bit on how we're going to move forward. But Again, I wish him the best, and I hope he finds whatever it is he's looking for, and then we'll do the same here where we are.
I would assume that Chief Williams would be interim, but I guess that's still a decision to be made. And are we going to go through a search process again, or are we going to try to find somebody internal? Or, I mean, what do you think is going to happen at this point? Because it seems, Rusty Nail before him, and then, now Chief Capturebone, we have them for a couple of years and then they go. And I never know whether that's because they're from elsewhere and they're not a part of our culture or other reasons or whatever. But, I'd like to see somebody stick for longer. You know what I mean?
Oh, trust me, I know what you mean. I don't know how we're going to move forward just yet. I don't know if we're going to do a search, or we may try to find somebody as an interim from within and let them fly for a little bit and see how that goes. So we have some options in front of us, and we'll move forward. And, we got a little time. Jason's going to stay with us a little bit and give us some time to transition, and which I do appreciate. And so we'll just see how we move it. But we are having those talks.
I can tell you a story about somebody else who rather reluctantly became the interim head of something or other, and then that seemed to work out okay, and that seems to be more of a long-term proposition. Now, you know who I'm talking about?
Who's that?
Yeah, maybe so.
Some guy who I'm talking to right now. Different question, but kind of in this vicinity. My understanding about the way fire is funded, you correct me if I got any of this wrong, about 18 million, a little more than 18 million, comes from the MSBU, the Municipal Services Benefit Unit, the 125 per residential, and then there's kind of a formula for business structures. But the actual cost of ECFR is more in the $24, $25 million range, and so we're pulling $6.5 million out of general revenue. I know that the commissioners, several of them have, pledged adamantly, standing on the desk, so to speak, that they would never increase taxes, but look, prices are going up. Ad valorem goes up every year, even though the millage stays the same. It seems crazy to me that the MSBU doesn't fluctuate up somewhat in order to accommodate the rising costs and the rising number of people that have to be. I mean, is this a conversation that we're ready to have yet?
I can tell you it's not one that I've had with any of the board members this fiscal year, this budget process. Okay. I don't believe it is. I will say, we've accomplished a lot here in the last 2 years with fire, especially. We started off by raising the kind of firefighter pay.
Oh, yeah.
And then we started, we gave the lieutenants, all the leadership 4%, and on top of some of the other raises that we've already given. So I think the board's been extremely supportive of all of our initiatives there in fire. I think they'll continue to be supportive. This budget process will also enhance fire even more. We're adding 21 new firefighters. And so we're being creative in how we do that. So as with any budget, if you're spending over here, you have to reduce over there.
Right.
And so that's kind of our approach at the moment. And so that's what we're doing. Budget is balanced, and I'm looking forward to presenting that budget.
I guess in my mind, I just think, if we're going to have this tax is going to be the basis of funding that department, it ought to fund that department. And, we ought to have an adult conversation about, well, what does that really need to be in order to fund that department? That's where I'm at. I mean, I understand they're getting funded and we're hiring new people and we're expanding pay and we've bought a bunch of equipment, all of which is good. That's kind of why I wanted to ask you that question. Something else I wanted to ask you about, obviously the county has been really focused over the last week or two on these deaths that happened, not here, but we have had some incidents happen here with water. What are you guys doing? What are you thinking? Is there anything you're thinking about doing differently when it comes to protecting, particularly our visitors, lifeguards, beach flag system, communicating the dangers? What's the county response to what happened in Panama City Beach?
Well, I think our messaging is first and foremost in education. We have our young men and women out there on the beach, and they do a fantastic job in water safety. Dave Greenwood can be any better than him. And,
agreed.
They're always, I've been up there, I get there, where we go, we get there 8:30 in the morning, we're in the sand, and you watch those guys set up, those men and women, and they comb the beach, and they interact with the tourists and the beachgoers, and they say, hey, don't swim here, swim there. And, I've seen it all, really. When you sit up there and just observe, I saw one lifeguard. He pulled two ladies out of the water. We didn't pull them out. He told them to get out of the water because it was double flags. He turned around and back in the water they go. And this went on for like three times. And I'm like, you know, when I grew up and when I took my kids to the beach, if we were on the Gulf side, most of the time they had life jacket on. I mean, it just was what it was.
Yeah.
And
Same here when our kids were younger.
Even a yellow flag. Yeah, even a yellow flag, we'd go to the sound side. I mean, it's not worth it. I mean, and quite honestly, I have probably more relaxed today on the sound side than I can the Gulf side sometimes.
Yeah.
But you got to be aware if it's surrounded. You got to know your limitations. Swim where the lifeguards are. I say if it's a yellow flag, be cautious. I mean, you're not, you know, in shape. If you're not a good swimmer, if you're kind of iffy, go spend some time on the south side. We got plenty of south side beach over there, and it's just makes for just as good a day.
Same temperature water, you know.
Same temperature water. Well, you know, it's a sandy bottom. It's a, you put your float out there, you float around. Kids can play. You don't have to worry as much on the south side with the young kids. And I get it. People come on vacation, so they're here, and they want to do it all. But it's you know, it's not worth it. It's not worth taking the risk if that water's rough.
And I will always
swim with a lifeguard.
Yeah, no, exactly right. And I'll say this, you know, Bay County Sheriff Tommy Ford had put out a statement on Facebook in which the short version of it is he said, it is unfathomable to me that you have these people who will curse out guards and cops who try to save their lives by preventing them from getting in danger and then praise them for heroes when they risk their lives to pull them out of the water to try to save them. And he's right. I mean, he's absolutely right about that. Wes Moreno, hang on for just a second. Let's get Candy in here with traffic on the fives.
Not showing any issues. It looks like speaking of which, on the beach, 98 looking clear, not showing any problems on Via de Luna. Certainly use caution, as you know, wherever you are. If you have traffic tips, text them in 437-1620, News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
Thanks so much, Candy. Just one more kind of follow-up on that. I know, you know, Commissioner Bragash had talked quite a bit about trying to put lifeguards out on Perdido Key. You know, expanding lifeguards is always a very appealing thing. My concern about that is, well, where are you going to find those lifeguards? Funding we can probably find, but where are you going to find the people to do it and to make it done safely? Has there been any motion in that direction since the last time you and I've talked about this?
Not other than just talking about it from a budgetary standpoint and equipment standpoint.
Okay. All right. I was just curious. You and I get to talk a lot, but I don't always remember to ask you certain questions that I'm, you know, kind of interested in. You have somebody who's retiring after quite a long time. Aaron Smith, is that right?
Aaron Smith, yeah, division manager at Public Works. Aaron's been at this 36 years. He and I started basically at the same time, and we started at about the same level at the bottom, running a shovel and mowing grass and doing all those sorts of things. But, you know, when I went back out to the road department in 2008 as kind of the director, and you don't know who's around you or what their temperament is. And I knew Aaron pretty well, but, I mean, we didn't work side by side together. But Aaron did step into the role of the division manager. And he and I and Art Mead and Tony Rez and Terry Gray at the time came together. And we, you know, we just bonded and we had each other's back. And Aaron's one of these folks that very sensible in his approach to decision making, but a lot of history. And his career has made a huge impact here in Escambia County, especially in the northern half of the county. And so I appreciate him so much. He's been a good friend. He's been a good manager for me and a good support for me. And what I've always appreciated about Aaron is I could ask him a question, he's going to tell me the truth. That's a stupid idea, or I don't agree with you, or what. I mean, and I appreciate people like that. I really do. But he always did it professionally. I always did it respectfully.
No, that's great.
But anyway, I wish him the best. Congratulations, Aaron Smith.
The last thing I wanted to ask you about is we did go we biked over in Gulf Shores this last weekend. So I got actually the first time I had driven through the Perdido Key roundabout, and it's been a couple of years, I guess, since I've been out on the key. One thing, I thought the roundabout worked just fine. I mean, people are still not quite sure what to do with it, which is a problem, but I think they'll get used to it over time. I will say this, the traffic on Sorrento when I was leaving coming into or onto the key, this is like 3:30 in the afternoon, was insane. Now, that was a record-breaking day of traffic going over to Pensacola Beach. So, you know, there's a lot of people want to go to the beach, and there's only so many places and so much roads to get there. But what is the current plan for improving traffic flow and safety on Sorrento Road? I know that's been a largely discussed conversation, but I always feel like I didn't know it personally because I hadn't driven that recently. Where are we at with that?
Well, I think there's been a lot of discussion with FDOT. You know, that Sorrento was their roadway. And I know Commissioner Burgos has been heavily involved in those discussions.
Right.
And trying to move improvements up the work plan there on Sorrento. And you're right, it does carry a lot of traffic. And, you know, it's a two-lane road. And I know some years back there was some talk of four-laning that road. And I don't know how that looks going forward. I don't believe it's anywhere in the immediate future, but it certainly is a heavily traveled road and something we will continue to work with FDOT to try to make as many improvements as we can possibly make out there.
Yeah, I mean, you know, and sometimes it's just you just can't fit this many cars in that place in such a short period of time. I understand that concern as well. Last question, take this with a little bit of the tongue-in-cheek that it's intended, but is it official now that the state or that the Perdido Key zone, the official bird is the no parking sign on the side of Perdido Key Drive? Because there are so many. It's like every 20 feet, it seems like.
Yeah, there's a lot of them out there. You know, no parking signage is a big thing. We get requests throughout the year. And I understand why they're requested, but it can call, you know, if you don't do this no parking thing wisely and thoughtfully and communicating with the folks in that area, you can create an uproar in about 30 minutes.
Yep.
And then it takes about a month to turn it all back down, you know? And so, no parking signs are, they are a thing.
Yeah, no, for sure. And I know parking out on the key is a challenge. I mean, for sure. But I kind of like, oh my God, I didn't know there were so many. Wes Moreno, he is the Escambia County Administrator. Wes, as always, thanks for the time. Thanks for spending some time with us every Thursday and keeping us informed about our county and for running things so effectively. I appreciate you, sir.
All right. Thank you, Andrew.
You bet. 652 on News Radio.
Enroll today in summer or fall classes at Pensacola State College and join the 95% of.
It's fine. You can just play. It's no big deal. 652 on News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay.
What'd you do this time, Brad?
I'm in the doghouse after my hunting trip last weekend.
Yeah, I was too. I blew off our date.
How'd you get out of the doghouse?
Stillwater's Day and Medical Spa. I got her a gift card. It took 3 minutes at swmedspa.com. She booked it this Saturday.
Saturday? So 9 holes then?
Tea times at 8.
To enjoy a hassle-free guys weekend, treat her to a gift card from Stillwater's Day and Medical Spa. Follow Stillwater's on Facebook or Instagram to enter contests and win great prizes. Or visit swmedspa.com.
Enroll today in summer or fall classes at Pensacola State College and join the 95% of PSC students who are going to school loan-free. PSC offers over 350 scholarships and more than 100 programs to choose from, ranging from career certificates to baccalaureate degrees in a format that best works for you. Plus, your education courses are guaranteed to transfer to Florida public universities. So don't wait. Register for summer or fall classes today online at pensacolastate.edu. Go here, get there, Pensacola State College.
Tomorrow at 10 on the Pensacola Expert Panel, join Mike Dyson, the owner of Anytime Fitness on North 9th Avenue, to learn how you can have a gym membership that fits your life. From convenience, training and tools, community and support, Anytime Fitness is here to help you meet your fitness goals. The friendly staff will help you get started with a customized plan. Listen tomorrow at 10 on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
Sometimes a family needs a little help to deal with life stresses. You can contribute to happy, healthy childhoods with a few simple steps. Notice families under stress. Offer a helping hand. Give your time. Talk about healthy child development. Connect a family with resources. Contributing to a great childhood can be as easy as being a good neighbor. For more, preventchildabusefl.org. This message is sponsored by the Ounce of Prevention Fund of Florida, the Florida Association of Broadcasters, and this radio station.
Tune in to News Radio Pensacola today and stay informed about what's happening in your community. We're here to keep you connected. News Radio Pensacola. Informative, local, dependable.
My heart only runs on Supreme.
Average for gallon of gas, 354. Florida's 331. Mississippi is the best, 297. California's the worst at 482. In Navarre, 311 east of the Walmart, 309 at the West Walmart. 307 foot of the Garcon Point Bridge at the Murphy, 335 in proper. 309 at the Raceway. That's my official commentary. 309 at the Raceway in Milton. 308 at the Murphy across from the Walmart in Pea Ridge. 319 at a couple of stations in Payson. 9 Mile, the Walmart has 314. 312 at the Murphy in front of the Walmart on US 29. And coming in from the southwest side. Oh, oh, your winner is the Shell at Cervantes. 305. I don't know why. So that's like almost north side prices. So 656. On News Radio 92.3, Candy's got traffic on the fives.
Ooh, I totally
I know.
Do.
How dare I get so excited about 8 cents?
I know,
you know, how dare I get excited about gas that's $1.30 more than it was under Trump? Oh, did you forget? Anyway, sorry, go ahead.
So the roads.
Way to make it worse.
Why do you do this? I-10, I-110 reporting as clear, not showing any issues on Highway 98 or Highway 90. Mentioned the beach traffic looking great, not showing any problems there. In fact, really, the only congestion I'm seeing is just like what you have at the lights, really. And that's good. If you see an accident or a slowdown, by all means, you can text it in at 437-1620. This is brought to you by Fresh from Florida. Hey, shoppers, it's your local farmer letting you know that Florida watermelon's in season right now. Learn more at followfreshfromflorida.com from the Florida Department of Agriculture. We are News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
Thanks so much, Candy. The only reason I get excited is because I always have to tell people coming in to town from the southwest that there's no hope for them. It's going to be expensive. So finally finding a station where you can save a dime a gallon, I don't know, it makes me happy in a weirdly irrational way.
Okay, what are you going to do with those $2?
Yeah, I know.
Nothing.
David Wayne, I'm going to, you know, spend it on a Slurpee. David Wayne in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
Federal judges in two states have now temporarily blocked portions of transgender youth care bans. Both laws in Kentucky and Tennessee were scheduled to take effect within the next few days. The courts blocked parts of respective state laws that would have prevented transgender minors from receiving hormone therapy or puberty blockers. UPS drivers are warning of an imminent strike that could start as soon as next week. Hopefully your packages will be delivered by Friday. UPS Teamsters are demanding that UPS produce its best and final offer by Friday. They apparently had a failed negotiation meeting this week. And the CEO of Anheuser-Busch says that he has no regrets about the Bud Light partnership with Dylan Mulvaney. CEO Brendan Whitworth made that comment yesterday on CBS's This Morning. He says right now there's a big social conversation taking place. Big brands are in the middle of it, and not just Bud Light.
All right. Well, you know, when you're in the skid, lean in the direction. you know, there you go.
It seems like they can't figure out which direction to go on it, because they'll go one way with their advertising, then another way. Yeah.
Do they identify as pro, or do they identify? You know, that's not clear at all. David, thanks so much for the update. 6:58, time for future news. Will Escambia County, let's say not this year, but maybe next year, look at raising the MSBU for fire?
Yes.
You know, in an election year, no, I wouldn't think so.
What's MSBU?
That's the fire service. That's the tax you pay for fire service. Oh. Somebody raised an interesting point that that's unfair to city residents, because city residents pay ad valorem, but they have their own fire service. So if, you know, city taxes are going to fund the county fire, that's not really fair to the city residents. No, that's an interesting point.
Well, I pay taxes and I don't have kids.
Will,
you know?
Right,
over.
But...
Safe area.
Oregon is getting rid of mandatory let somebody else pump your gas because they can't find staff. Half their gas pumps are closed because they can't find staff to staff it. New Jersey is the last one where you have to get it pumped by somebody. Is that going to change at all in the near future? Will New Jersey go to everybody pump your own gas? Way to avoid being the late 70s, y'all.
Stream us at newsradio923.com. Newsradio 92.3.